Hi there, it's Melvin. Just wanted to take a moment to thank the team over at Thrizer for supporting this month's podcast sessions. Thrizer is a payment platform that you have to check out if you are a private pay therapist and accepting out-of-network benefits. It basically helps clients save on therapy upfront. Thrizer can help verify a client's out-of-network benefit ahead of the first session so that they get transparency up front on what their out-of-pocket costs will be. I'll tell you more about Thrizer here in the middle of our session, but if you go to sellingthecouch.com/Thrizer, you actually and then enter the code STC upon sign up, you get your first $2,500 in fees waived. Again, that's over at sellingthecouch.com/Thrizer, and be sure to enter the promo code STC. So we'll jump right into today's podcast session. Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to session 32 of Selling the Couch. Thank you so much for taking the time to join me for today's session. I hope you are having a wonderful summer. We just got back from just a day trip. We went out to central Pennsylvania and we went on a safari. It was really cool. So they basically take you in this school bus where the top half is cut off and it's on like 200 acres. And we got to see all sorts of neat things like emu and buffalo and Texas longhorns, which made me so happy, you know, being and growing up in Texas. It reminded me of that home. But whatever you're doing this summer, hope you're enjoying just a time to rest and rejuvenate. Today's podcast is actually all about podcasting. So I've been wanting to do this episode for some time. And to give you a little bit of a background on it, last month, Carrie Nola, who was one of the previous guests on this podcast, invited me to her monthly webinar. It's a free webinar that she does every month where she discusses different topics pertaining to private practice. And she had asked me to do a webinar all about how to use podcasting to grow a private practice. And so I began to think and I was like, wow, you know, this topic it's really good and I should totally do a podcast on this. Anyway, something like 150 people signed up for this webinar last month and we had such a great attendance and I thought, you know what, let me just do this podcast. So today's podcast is me for the entire rest of our time. I'm just going to share as much as I have learned and just give you an idea of what it takes to use podcasting to not only grow your practice, but to build it as well. You know, I've seriously spent several hundred hours learning podcasting. And so to take all this information and put it into 25 to 30 minutes is a bit challenging. But what I'll do is I will give you kind of a big overview. And then in certain areas, I'll go a little bit deeper into things just to help you on your own podcasting journey. So we'll be talking about a couple of different things. One, I'm just going to share some stats about the growth of podcasting and how big podcasting is getting in general. And then we'll go into some more of the equipment and software that I use for the Selling the Couch podcast and some of the ways that I record and edit as well. And then we'll talk a little bit about how to build buzz for your podcast, you know, especially I think in this day and age where there are more and more podcasts coming out. Building a sense of buzz for your podcast is really important. Now, I'll take you behind the scenes and show you some of the things that worked for me. And then we'll go into actually how to submit your podcast to iTunes and other directories. And then we'll talk a little bit about finding the time and getting over the fear of podcasting. I think this is something that's very legitimate. And I think we as clinicians have some advantages that perhaps the average person doesn't have. But I think still sitting in front of a mic and trying to do a podcast is definitely intimidating. So I'll kind of share some of the things that have worked for me. And then as we wrap up, I'm going to just share some really exciting news that I have for you that I think is going to really be a game changer and help your podcasting journey. So let's get started. So the first topic is just generally the growth of podcasting. And I wanted to start by just sharing some general stats with you that will give you an idea of how big podcasting is getting. Just last year, which is we're in 2015. So in 2014, podcast downloads passed the 1 billion download mark, which is crazy. 1 billion downloads of podcasts just in 2014. And everything that I've read and all the research I've done, it seems like podcasting is definitely here to stay, and it seems to continue to grow and grow even at quicker rates this year. When you look at podcasting, iTunes, which is owned by Apple, is kind of the big player in the podcasting space. And one really important stat to realize is that there are 800 million iTunes users, which is a lot of users. And so just think about the potential and think about the reach that you would have if you do start and decide to start a podcast. I looked at some other stats. So I also found that there are 75 million podcast listeners per month. And if you look at just 5 years ago, that was something more like 25 million. So basically in the last 5 years, the number of podcast listeners per month has grown threefold. So I think a lot of times people forget that iTunes is actually also a search engine. So if you have an Apple device and you go to the very top right on iTunes, you'll notice a search tab. And what I have read is that there are something like 37 million searches on iTunes per month, which is really crazy. People are using iTunes in very similar ways as they would be if they're searching on YouTube or on Google or any other search engine. And now here's some really interesting stats. So I read a couple of the automotive kind of things, because that's where it seems to be, is they're wanting to get podcasts much more mainstream than it is right now. And so they're predicting that within the next year or two, 50% of new cars will have internet connectivity, meaning that you'll be able to access iTunes and you'll be able to access podcasts right on your computer. And they're predicting that by 2025, which is 10 years from now, 100% of all the cars that will be on the market will have internet connectivity. You know, I was actually watching this commercial last month, and it was for Chevy, and it was introducing this whole concept. And they were saying that this specific car has internet and Wi-Fi capabilities, and that's how it's kind of distinguishing itself from other cars. But just to think that it'll be the norm in 10 years, I mean, it's just wild to think about. The other trend I've noticed is a lot of these bigger companies like NPR, ESPN, they've actually started to also create podcasts to go along with their shows, which definitely means that podcasting is an area that a lot of these companies are getting into. In fact, I read that NPR this year was the first time in a long time where they've actually made a profit, and they attributed that profit to the fact of the growth of their podcast arm and the fact that they're generating revenue from ads on their podcast. So the next thing I just wanted to shift to was talking a little bit about equipment and software for doing your podcast. So the very first thing I wanted to share is that you don't need expensive equipment right at the start. I think if you search anywhere on a lot of websites, people will say, you know, get this and that will lead to you having a great podcast. And let me tell you, like, those equipment, they make a difference, but for the average listener, it really doesn't matter. If you can hear my voice right now, I am on a microphone that costs me, I think, around $58 on Amazon. Now, if you look on Amazon, there are podcasting microphones that are well into the hundreds of dollars. You don't need any of that stuff. In fact, what you basically need is just a few pieces of software and hardware. The key thing for me is that I always say buy quality but reasonably priced hardware, especially when you're first starting out. So all you really need is a computer. So that could either be your laptop or a desktop. You need a mic, a podcasting mic. So you definitely want to use a podcasting mic and not like the mic that comes on your computer, or not the white one that comes with your iPhone. You also want what's called a mic arm. So a mic arm is basically a housing for your mic. That way, if you need to adjust your mic in the middle of an interview, or if you have to do something like coughing, you can move your mic right out of the way, which then will make sure that the mic doesn't actually pick up that sound. And then you also need some quality headphones. Again, you don't have to spend hundreds of dollars on headphones, but definitely get headphones, because when you're recording, like when I record this podcast, I'm recording right now, I'm actually wearing headphones. And the reason for that is if you don't wear headphones when you podcast, and when you're either doing a solo episode or where you're interviewing somebody, what happens is the mic starts to pick up all of this background noise and you won't realize it at that moment. But when you go back to edit it, you'll find all this weird noise and it's going to sound really strange. And that stuff is really hard to edit out. And then the last piece of equipment that you need is something called a pop filter. So a pop filter is a device that you place right in front of your mic. And what that does is it cuts out some of those more hard noises that our mouths tend to make, like the P noises and the B noises. Those things, especially for someone that's listening to a podcast, it can feel very overwhelming and it can feel intrusive. And so a pop filter basically softens that noise so you get a much more smooth sound as you go through. So just shifting a little bit, when you're recording your podcast, as I mentioned, what you always want to do is you want to record right into a mic. You want to have, I wish I could actually show you a picture of this. I'll see if I can get a picture. But what you want to do is you want to have your pop filter hooked to your mic arm. And your mic, as you remember, is right in that mic arm. And you want to have the pop filter about 3 inches in front of your mic. This way, it catches some of those more intrusive noises. Now, one of the mistakes that I made early on was I would take my pop filter and put it right on the mic. And I thought, hey, you know, if I put it right on the mic, it'll remind me not to go too close or too far away. But what I didn't realize was by having it so close, every time I would move my mouth back and forth, the mic would pick up that weird noise. So definitely put your pop filter about 2 to 3 inches in front of your mic, and then you should be good to go. That's what I'm doing right now. And as you can tell, it should sound pretty good. So when you're recording your podcast, there's a couple of different options. If you're doing just a one-to-one episode as a private practitioner, so for example, let's say that you have some expertise in couples and you want to do a podcast episode on 5 ways to improve your relationships, and likely you'll be doing a single podcast episode. And those kind of episodes are really good because they help to build your legitimacy as a clinician. And so when you're doing that, what you want to do is you want to download a program called Audacity. Audacity is a free program. It's available for Windows and Mac. And that's the software that I use to record the Selling the Couch podcast. Oh, by the way, don't worry about recording or making any notes of any of this equipment. I'm going to be sharing a bunch of stuff, but I'll just put all of that in the show notes, which you can find at sellingthecouch.com/session and the number 32. So the other thing also is when you're recording a podcast, the recording stage of your podcast will look very different than the final product. Now, this is something that I am still working on, but when you're recording, when there is some moment where you want to gather your thoughts, what you want to do is you just want to pause instead of saying, or ah, or using some kind of other filler words. Now, this is something that I learned the hard way. When you use ums and ahs, it's fine, but it's a lot harder to edit out. And you really have to go in and edit it out on Audacity. And it takes a lot of time. So a time-saving trick is instead of using ums and ahs, just pause. And what will happen is on Audacity, there's going to be a little gap in time. And when you go back and edit, it's much easier to find those gaps in time and just cut it out. And it's a lot easier to edit. And then the other thing is if you're doing an interview where you're interviewing some kind of guest, what you want to use is Skype. Skype is free to download. And then Skype basically lets you call people all over the world to connect with them. So I use Skype for all of these interview-based podcast episodes. I'm here in Pennsylvania, and that's why I have folks from like California that are talking and doing the podcast. Skype lets you make those calls, but then you'll need a piece of software to actually record those conversations. So if you are a Windows user, you want to use something called Pamela. And if you're a Mac user, you want to use something called Ecamm Call Recorder. Again, I'll write all of this in the show notes. Those two pieces of software, they cost a little bit of money, but they're very reasonably priced. And what that basically allows you to do is actually record the conversation when you're talking to your guest. So the next thing I want to talk about, and this is an area I feel like I could talk forever about, but I'm just going to be as brief as possible. So it's about this idea of actually building pre-launch buzz. Now, if you had asked me 3-4 years ago whether you needed to build any kind of buzz for your podcast, I would say, yeah, it's important, but it's not that important because there aren't too many podcasts out there. But the reality now is, you know, with so many podcasts coming out, and especially some of these larger companies, whether it's NPR or ESPN or CNN, whatever it is, as they're starting to also get into the podcasting space, it's really important to build pre-launch buzz. Now, iTunes is, as I said, the big player in the space. So if you are an Apple user, you will likely be listening to podcasts on iTunes. So if you pull up, if you take your tablet or you take your iPhone, you'll notice a podcast tab, which is purple and it says podcast on it. So that's how you would search for a podcast and find it as well. Now, if you're a Windows user, don't worry, or you're an Android user, there's a program called Stitcher Radio, which is the iTunes equivalent for Android users. Essentially, when you launch your podcast, you want your podcast on both iTunes and Stitcher Radio. There's also another one called SoundCloud, which is a good idea to also be on as well. SoundCloud seems like it's a lot of the end of teenage, early 20 demographic, and so that's also one to really consider as well. To build pre-launch buzz, one of the things that I highly recommend is to actually create what I call a podcast launch team. So it's not as complicated as it sounds. So a podcast launch team is essentially a group of friends, family, colleagues, and listeners of your podcast who will support you and will be willing to guide you and help you on your podcasting journey. So what you want to do is you want to just reach out to these folks. Now, there's a couple of different ways to do it. You could create a Facebook group, which is what I did, and I ended up, I think, having 300 people on my launch team, which was a crazy number. But don't worry so much about those numbers. I've seen podcasting friends have as little as like 10 or 20 people, and they've been fine. So one option is to create like a private Facebook launch team group and just invite a lot of your friends through Facebook to be on your team. Now, it's a good strategy and that's what I did, but in hindsight, I probably would not have done it that way. Main reason is because every time you make an update on Facebook on your launch team page, not everybody on your team sees it because, you know, as you know, Facebook has really lessened the reach of posts. So not everybody, every time you post, is going to actually see that post. So in hindsight, what I would probably do is use a website like Lead Pages and actually create a email opt-in. So basically a page on your website where people can sign up to be on your launch team, and then they will get some emails. And when I say emails, do it very sporadically and do it very intentionally. You know, you don't want to overwhelm or burden people, but just remind them about your podcast. And when you're reminding them is actually three things. You're reminding them to subscribe to your podcast, which basically means that they click a button on iTunes and that enables the podcast to automatically download on their phone or on their tablet. And then you're asking them to rate your podcast. So iTunes has a star rating system. So it's 5 out of 5 stars. So essentially, just to give you a background, the more 4 and 5 star reviews that a podcast has, the more social proof that a podcast has, meaning that if somebody randomly comes across your podcast, they're thinking, whoa, you know, that has a lot of 4 and 5 star reviews. So that must be a pretty good quality podcast. So that's the whole rating. And then the last part is reviews. So iTunes also has this function where people can review, write a brief 1 to 2 sentence lesson or review of your podcast and what they have found helpful. So it's the combination of subscriptions, ratings, and reviews that help the podcast to get buzz, but also get into what's called the new and noteworthy section of iTunes. So this is basically a section of iTunes that iTunes has created for new podcasters. And it's their way of allowing smaller podcasters like us to be able to compete with these larger companies. The combination of subscriptions, ratings, and reviews is what allows a podcast to get into new and noteworthy. Now, to be honest, like, it doesn't actually take a lot of ratings and reviews and subscriptions to get into new and noteworthy, but it does take more and more, of course, to go further and further up in new and noteworthy. I don't know the exact number. iTunes doesn't disclose the actual number of people you need to subscribe, rate, and review, but it's really not too many. If you have a legitimate podcast launch team and you're sharing the podcast with them and reminding them to subscribe, rate, and review to the podcast, it really should not be hard to get into new and noteworthy. And the reason you want to get into New and Noteworthy is New and Noteworthy is a section on iTunes. So when you actually open up iTunes, there's a section that says New and Noteworthy. And if your podcast lands on there, it basically exposes your podcast to a lot of people and gets a lot of potential listeners at least curious about your podcast. The other thing is being a New and Noteworthy helps build social proof for your podcast. So social proof is basically this idea of later you can say, you know, I was in the New and Noteworthy section. So it gives your podcast some legitimacy. By using a podcast launch team and doing a couple of different things, as you know, I was able to get into the top 15 of all new podcasts on iTunes. And that's the strategy that I highly recommend for you to employ as well. The next thing I just wanted to talk about was actually like submitting to iTunes and other directories. So you definitely want to submit to iTunes. That is the big player in the market. I think iTunes has something like 80 to 85% of the podcasting space. So you definitely want to submit to iTunes. Now, I'm going to try to explain this in a way that's easy to understand. So when you initially submit your podcast, you're submitting to iTunes, but you're not actually storing that podcast episode in iTunes. You can do it in iTunes, but it's a lot more complicated and it's actually not the smartest way to do it. So instead, what you want to do is you want to use a podcast hosting service. The one that I use is called Libsyn. And what Libsyn does is every time I release a new episode, I upload it into Libsyn, and Libsyn I've already connected to iTunes. So Libsyn then communicates with iTunes and communicates with Stitcher and communicates with SoundCloud that, hey, Melvin's released a new episode. And then it shows up within iTunes and Stitcher and SoundCloud. So one key strategy and one thing I would share with you is definitely launch with 3 podcast episodes. So there's a lot of different people will say different things. And so the thing I would say is launch with an episode 0, or you can call it episode 1, but I just called mine episode 0. So an episode 0 is basically, it doesn't have to be very long. In fact, I wouldn't make it longer than 10 minutes. Basically on episode 0, you just want to introduce yourself, introduce your podcast, tell a little bit about what your podcast is about. Also, just a kind of a ninja hacker tip, mention your website. And then if you have any kind of an email opt-in, like if you're a private practitioner and you have a newsletter, right? What you want to do is just include the URL of the newsletter, because what I have found is that episode 0 tends to be one of the most listened to episodes out of all of the podcasts that I've released so far. And that makes sense, right? People who have never heard of this podcast will usually go to session 0 and try to figure out, hey, what is this podcast about? And so if I've included some URLs and things, then it's much more likely that people will actually visit the website, which is what you want, especially as a private practitioner, to get to know you a lot more. And then the other thing why you want to launch with 3 episodes is that launching with multiple episodes lets listeners actually subscribe to your podcast. So that means that it lets new episodes automatically download to their cell phone or to their tablet. If you only launch with 1 episode, you don't actually have the option to subscribe. And the other thing is, it's a very psychological thing, right? So if somebody comes across a new podcast and they like the content, but there's only 1 episode there, they're kind of like, oh, I like this, but I don't know when the next one's coming out. And I also don't know if this person's legitimately going to be serious about podcasting. And so to avoid all of that, just launch with 3 podcast episodes. And something related to this, and this will take a little bit of work on the front end, but try to have about 4 weeks worth of episodes in the tank. That way, if something comes up in the future, whether it's a technical difficulty or somebody that you wanted to record a podcast and something happened with your computer, or if you were supposed to have a guest on your podcast and they cancel out at the last minute, you can always avoid those things. You know, I did launch with a little bit of a buffer, but I've definitely had several podcasting friends that have tried to, you know, basically have an episode a week without having any in the tank. And they've just been too stressed out and too overwhelmed. And especially, I think, for us as clinicians, when we're trying to balance multiple things, it's really not worth the headache. So definitely have some podcasts ready to go. You know, the last thing I wanted to mention was just essentially, you know, I think a lot of times private practitioners, they've approached me and said, how do I actually find the time? And then how do I also get over this fear of podcasting? And I wanted to address those two things with you. The first is just finding the time. You know, one way to do it is to have a podcast episode and just record one every week. But one of the things that I do is I dedicate one whole day to recording multiple episodes. So Wednesday is always my recording day. And the reason I have it in the middle of the week and not on a Monday or Friday is because sometimes there's inevitably holidays and then that throws off your recording schedule. So definitely have it one of those days, either Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, where you can just dedicate to podcast episode recording. So on Wednesday, sometimes I'll record up to four episodes. That way I already have four episodes ready to go and I've got it queued out for the next month. So as a private practitioner, you can do this, just set aside one day a week, or you can even set aside one day a month. It's all that it requires. And you can use a calendar or scheduling software. The one I use for the podcast is called Calendly, C-A-L-E-N-D-L-Y. And what I basically do is I set my schedule on Calendly and then I share my link with any guests on the podcast. And then they can try to find a time that fits for me and that also fits for them. It just makes it a lot quicker. The other thing is getting over the fear. I'm not going to lie to you. Podcasting is intimidating just because a lot of times, you know, I'm recording these solo episodes. I'm in my room and there's no one here. So it's similar, but it's very different than if you're in a counseling session, right? Where you're actually having a conversation with someone. But the thing I will tell you is I feel like I'm a little better after 31 episodes now, but I feel like it's the same as building a private practice. It takes time. It is going to be a little scary and intimidating, but if you have a system in place, it's a lot easier and a lot more manageable. You know, before I wrap up, I wanted to share just some additional things, which would be some of the ways that podcasting can really help your private practice. One of the first ways is that, as I mentioned, that it can direct additional traffic to your website. So basically what we know, without overcomplicating it, the more traffic you have to your website, the more legitimate that your website seems. And so you'll essentially be able to rank higher in search engines, which means that when potential clients are looking for counselors, your website is going to rank up higher. The next thing is iTunes is a search directory like Google. It's got 800 million subscribers. There's not a lot of mental health podcasts out there. It's really an uncontested marketplace, and you've got that many people that are searching. You've got some real opportunities to really stand out. You know, the obvious one is then you can also become an authority in your area of specialty, whether that is working with infertility, couples, working with teens, whatever it is, parenting. If you create a podcast around that, instead of waiting for blogs or for you to guest blog on or waiting for people to invite you to different webinars, you're essentially creating your own platform through your own podcast. And then podcasting just offers a lot of different opportunities. You know, like since I've launched the podcast, I've spoken at a couple of different conferences. I've spoken at a college. And then the other thing is, podcasting, it allows you to really create some passive income down the line. So passive and active. So active would be definitely there's a lot of potential to have ads on your podcast, and companies are definitely willing to pay some serious money for ads on podcasts. And then the other thing is you can create some passive income, whether you're creating any sort of a course or ebooks or whatever it is for your private practice. You can always advertise that and share that with your community through your podcast. And especially as your podcast continues to grow, people are much more likely to trust you and then buy that product. So I know that was a lot of information. I hope it didn't overwhelm you. I feel like, you know, as I said, podcasting is such a huge topic and something that's really been on my heart since I launched the Selling the Couch podcast is, you know, I wanted to essentially take a lot of the lessons that I've learned. I've made so many mistakes along the way. I've learned a lot of lessons in launching this podcast, and I've been thinking about how do I actually share this? And so You may have heard some of the rumblings if you've been on either on the Facebook group or heard it through the webinar that I hosted with Carrie, but I'm actually launching a step-by-step online course later this year, and it's actually going to be a course and it's going to be a community for healthcare practitioners, healers, and coaches. And this will be a place that we can all come together. If you're interested in podcasting, I'm going to just essentially create this step-by-step course where I share everything I've learned. I'm going to share a lot of the worksheets that I use. I'm going to share lots of screen capture videos, basically showing you step-by-step some of the things that I do to get your podcast from just an idea all the way to actually launching it, and also just having a serious buzz around it. And then, you know, I'm also working right now, kind of, this is what I've been working on behind the scenes in getting actually this course off the ground. I'm also working with some of these companies that I mentioned to hopefully get you some discount codes so it doesn't become any sort of a financial burden to you at all. Now, you know, this will be a paid course, but one thing I want you to know is that I'm going to make it reasonably priced. I'm not one of those people where I'm going to, you know, create this course and I'm going to charge you a couple of $1,000 and make this completely unreasonable. If you're serious about podcasting, which I get the sense there's a lot of us that are serious about podcasting, I want this to be completely affordable for you. So if you would like to know more about the podcast launch course, I'm going to just be sharing it this initial round with primarily through my email list, which I created. And you can sign up for that email list at www.sellingthecouch.com/my-podcast-launch. And I'm not going to overwhelm you with any emails, but when the course is ready to go, I'll just send you a couple of different emails, just sharing the course with you and giving you options to purchase it. But I'm also, whether you decide to purchase the course or not, even if you are on the email list, I'm going to actually be sending a lot of free, high quality things about podcasting to help you on your podcasting journey. And, you know, the final thing is with this community, it's going to be just a one-time thing. You know, my goal is to actually continue to add a lot of future content as I learn about more and more about podcasting. And I don't know, I'm not going to charge you any extra. So once you pay that one fee, you get lifetime access to the community, and then you get lifetime access to any of the things that I'll be building out for it as well. Thank you, everyone. Hope you enjoyed this session. I know this is a little longer than my usual sessions. It's just I was trying to get a lot of it into a little bit of time. But as I mentioned, if you can find show notes and all the resources that I mentioned at sellingthecouch.com/session3-2. Have a splendid week and take good care of yourself. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Selling the Couch podcast. For more great content and to stay up to date, visit www.sellingthecouch.com.
So if you've been listening to the STC podcast for a while, or you've been listening to podcasts and you've had this thought of, Mel, I would love to launch my own podcast in order to grow my business, just wanted to encourage you to check out our free podcasting workshop, which is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting workshop. You can basically sign up at a day and a time that works for you. It's 90 minutes. And when I do these workshops or when I record them, I truly believe in the quality teaching, so it's going to be well worth your time. We're going to go through gear recommendations and how to launch strategically and how to think about monetizing your podcast and how to line up your podcast with your existing offers and how to do it strategically and authentically and not salesy and slimy and all of those things. So again, the link is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting workshop.